morning. May I invite you to have a seat and we will begin. And lovely to welcome you on this wintry morning, you brave souls. And we have a lot of brave souls up here on the platform. So welcome everybody. I think most of you know me, Reverend Dr. Ann Simmons. I'm filling in for Kristen, who is preaching at Rosedale Presbyterian Church this morning in a pulpit exchange in honor of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. So we are very lucky to have Reverend Canon Jeffrey, I didn't even ask you, Sanguine.
Sanguine,
Reverend Jeffrey Sanguine from the church St. Simon the Apostle, and you've added St. Peter and St. Simon.
Yes, we amalgamated with them in 2006.
You amalgamated, that's right. That beautiful little church down on Carlton Street, yes. So lovely to have you with
Thank
us
you.
This morning. Jeffrey has served in parishes in the Beach and in Bramalea, and can I say your news, or is that not new? And he will be, in the spring, moving down to the cathedral. So he will be dean of the cathedral?
Sub-dean
of the cathedral, but us United Church don't really understand all these Anglican terms quite so well. But, but that means that someday he will be dean, I'm sure. Anyway, we're very happy to have you
thank
here.
You.
And thank you for trudging out in the snow like everybody else. So Kristen canceled coffee hour, but Sally Medland couldn't bear it and will make coffee. And there will be coffee in the corner here for anybody who feels they need that reinforcement before they go home. Oh, yes, it's Robbie Burns Day, she told me. Next Sunday, there will be a complimentary congregational lunch downstairs where the Reverend Emily Gordon will do a presentation on Sabbath and rest. So do plan to stay. The flowers in the chancel, these beautiful flowers this morning, are in loving memory of Edward Percy Dorian Greaves. He was born in the West Indies, and he died here in Toronto. And his wife, Sarah Margaret Masiah Greaves, she was born in Barbados and died here also in Toronto. I encourage you after the service, when you're having coffee, to come and have a look at the beautiful display that Sandy and her partner have put here in loving memory of his parents. So let us stand and join in our call to worship. Called to this place.
As people of God.
Called to this place.
As friends in the Spirit.
Called to this place.
As followers of Christ.
Called to this place. Place.
To be renewed, to be refreshed, to be remade.
Called to this place that we might go to all places to share the love of God. Please join in singing A Light is Gleaming, Voices United 82. And that is the red hymn book for anybody who might not know.
Thank you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with the word peace.
Peace of Christ be with you.
We light this candle that we call the Christ candle, and it's a reminder that the light of the divine, there is a spark of it in each one of us and everyone everywhere. Let us remember that as we worship today. The spark of divine is in you. Let us pray. Holy One, hidden in our hurry and restlessness and anxiety is a longing for a sense of your presence. Help us to understand that while we wonder if you are really here, it is us that forgets to show up. In the simple lighting of a candle, you are here. In the simple sounding of your name, you are here. In the simple breath of awareness, you are here. In silence, we breathe, you are here. We pray that this time of worship might be a time to find a quiet center in our busy lives. We pray, saying together the traditional words of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. May God bless to our understanding this reading from Scripture. Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. He went up to the mountain and called to him those whom he'd wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 to be with him, and to be sent out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. This is the witness of the early church. May these words comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us. Amen.
Our next hymn is One Bread, One Body, Voices United 467, and we will not be singing the first verse, so just verses 2 and 3.
Thank you.
Please be seated. In a moment, we will follow the prayer gesture that we have been using this January, which is, if you so wish, in a time of meditation after our prayer, to come up and, in whatever way you might want, from the font or the water at the front on the table, to somehow renew your own baptismal vow. You may want to dip your finger in and touch it to your forehead. It is entirely up to you, or you might just want to sit and enjoy the music, the meditative music. But let us pray. Loving God, we pray today with Christians of every denomination. We gather as one in Christ's name. May we open our hearts to one another as we come together in prayer and community. May we care for each other as we share each other's stories. May we listen for your guidance towards healing and hope. May we share in strength, for confidence, for wisdom. May we trust your abundant gift of grace, which makes all things new. And yet at times, it is a heavy burden, God, to share stories of loss and brokenhearted. It is also in the hurt, in the worrying, and in the draining of our energy that we find you ever present. You are the source of our compassion, the strength for our sharing, the reason for our reaching out to support one another in prayer. So we pray that our hearts move with the same beat as your heart, that our spirits notice your call to community, that we understand the good news Christ reveals, that we sing with the joy your song of faith, that our hearts experience the love you create in us. Hold us now, compassionate God, and those we lift in silent prayer. Strengthen us in this ministry we share. Grant us wisdom in all our relations. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. There are other things I could have told you about our guest, but one of the things that I forgot to mention and realized when he was standing beside me with his beautiful singing voice, that he has also has a degree in music. Well, well deserved, no doubt. So I look forward to hearing your words, and I would invite the choir to do what I'm going to do if you want, so we can see him. I'm going to go down. So if any of you want to do that, feel free.
Thank you. Let us pray. Guide us by your light, O Lord, that the darkness of our hearts and minds being done away, we may come to that perfect light, even your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're all very brave to come out this morning. It's wonderful to be here with you today as we share in this pulpit exchange to celebrate the week of prayer for Christian unity. And on this very wintry, cold day, thank you for your very, very warm welcome, especially to Anne, who is steering me through things. It's great to be here. On a personal note, a lifelong friend and mentor, the late Reverend Donald Henderson, was a minister here back in the 1970s. I sang with his son David in the choir down at the cathedral, and Donald became a very dear friend to me over the years, and in retirement helped me in my first parish out at St. Joseph of Nazareth in Bramalea. He was also a really great preacher, and it is an honor to speak here in the place where he served, and I certainly do not measure up to Donald. The Week of Prayer for Christian Unity is an annual observance dedicated to promoting unity among different Christian traditions. Going back to 1908, it was founded by Father Paul Watson and Mother Lorana White, co-founders of the Society of the Atonement in Graymore, New York. It is celebrated yearly from January the 18th to the 25th, linking the Feast of the Confession of St. Peter on the 18th and the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, which is today. The idea spread beyond the Roman Catholic Church, gaining interest from Anglican and other Protestant communities. And by the mid-20th century, it became a shared initiative among various Christian denominations. This year's theme is shaped by the Armenian Apostolic Church. It is focused on the words from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling." A brief word about the church in Armenia. The Armenian Apostolic Church is one of the world's oldest Christian communities. It has played a key role in shaping the spiritual and historical identity of the Armenian people for nearly 2,000 years, as well as offering spiritual leadership and guidance. The church has upheld Armenian traditions, language, and values. This has been especially the case in times of adversity and foreign aggression. Today, amid continuing challenges, the church is a source of strength for the Armenian people. It upholds a strong tradition of ecumenism, peace and understanding, religious tolerance, environmental stewardship, and social justice, thus reflecting the commitment to the values of love, compassion, and respect that we all seek to strive for. This year's theme highlights the faith and unity every follower of Jesus is called to seek. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. This celebrates the life of the church. But perhaps first we should ask a simple question. What is the church? It's not a building or a set of rules or a club or an agency of some kind. I mean, it is all of those things to a point. But the church is a unique community of people established by God through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, who is its head and the head of all creation. We are a community joined together in Christ, following where he leads and striving to live as he lived and as he continues to inspire us through his holy and life-giving Spirit. Well, much like today, the early church grappled with that concept. In a world with so many other demands and forces and paths to faith and allegiances to follow, Jesus comes along with a new way of being, a way rooted in his own Trinitarian life of intimate love and mutual relationship with the Father. Remember his prayer in John 17, 21. He calls for believers to be one as he and the Father are one, showing that our unity is grounded in our relationship with him and in our collective mission of sharing the good news in his name. His sacrificial and selfless love is the bond of our communion in Christ and the primary focus of discipleship. And Paul stresses this over and over again. The epistle to the Ephesians is considered by many scholars to have been a circular letter, that is, a letter not just for the church at Ephesus, but also for other churches in Asia Minor, and by extension, to us here today. The passage has a universal character, speaking not just to the challenges of the early church, but to the church across the ages. In the first century of the church's life, one big argument that raged, and a thing Paul had difficulty with, was the conviction that the new sect of Jesus people was really just a sect of Judaism. So if you were to be a follower of Jesus, you had to be a Jewish convert first. Since Christianity was spreading quickly in the Mediterranean area, it became a source of great concern to converts that they'd had to take on two religions when they left the comfort of their pagan gods. And Paul struggled with this valiantly. In fact, in Ephesians, he reminds the new church that at the beginning they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It's quite the stern indictment. But then he goes on to tell how the coming of Christ was the thing that broke down the dividing walls, all those things people had set up, even the dividing walls of religion, which, as we know, are higher than most. He reconciled the opposing factions in the cross. The function of the new church was to make that a reality in everyday life. And in the end, the church could say, we are no longer strangers and aliens. We are citizens of the saints and members of the household, the family of God, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He uses the metaphor of the body to show the church is a unified entity, transcending barriers of geography and nationality, ethnicity, and tradition. The body has a unity with a diversity of members. Like the human body, where each part is unique but connected to the whole, so the church, though composed of many different parts, functions as a cohesive whole, or at least it should, and certainly should strive to. All too often, our differences have been sources of division. The story is told of a Christian who was stranded alone for several years on a deserted island. One day, a ship happened to see three huts on this island, and so they sent a rescue team to investigate. The rescuers were confused to find one person, but three huts. They asked about this, and the person answered, "That one is my house, that one is the church I go to, and that one is the church I used to go to." Sadly, so often this is the case. If we think of the church as a family, looking at our divisions across denominations, and yes, sometimes those within congregations, we could see it as something of a dysfunctional family. Lest we get discouraged at that fact, it seems it was this way from the very beginning. Most of Paul's letters were written to address issues threatening to divide the churches. And the letter to the Ephesians is one of those, ultimately encouraging them to keep on keeping on, as the saying goes, to work through challenges with a common goal in mind, which is to seek the mind of Christ. Now think for a moment about this church, this beautiful church, which has been a witness to Jesus in the heart of this community for many years. I don't know your church well, meaning I don't know your members well or the specifics of your parochial life. But I drive past various times on any given week, and this I do know. Here you stand as a sign of God's presence and proclaiming the good news of God in Jesus Christ. And like my own parish, there have been literally hundreds upon hundreds of people whose lives have been altered in some way by their contact with the community of faith in this place. For some, it may have been a short stay. For others, it was to live out their whole life here. For some, it would be to stand on the fringes and maybe visit at Christmas or Easter, or maybe the occasional wedding, baptism, or funeral. For others, it was to become part and parcel of the life of this community, working their hearts out for committees, raising money, and becoming very exercised when things don't go well. For some, it has been involvement with community service and outreach. Over at St. Peter and St. Simon's, one ecumenical ministry we share is our after-school homework club. It runs 5 days a week from 3 to 6 p.m., and we're there to support families with young children. Many of those children would go home to empty apartments if they didn't come to us. And this is one small way that we are able to share the light of Christ in our own neighborhood. And I know you are doing similar things here in Rosedale. For every faith community, even for those loosely connected over the years, there has been a contribution of some kind to build up the body. In the long run, it matters that we are called by Christ, that we listen, that we follow, and we make what contribution we are able to make. Because God calls each and every one of us, both individually and as a community. We don't all walk the same path. We don't need all to be together in the same way, be it in worship or fellowship or service. There is one body, but it has many parts, each doing its own thing, but related one to the other. And it is that relationship which is essential. We seek unity, not uniformity. Our unity is in our response to the call of Jesus to bring what we have to serve him and to share his life, and then to go out of our various places of worship to bring his healing, mercy, and love to a very broken and hurting world. Paul reminds us that Jesus himself granted that some should be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints, that's you and me, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Friends, that is a very high calling. It is a journey, a step-by-step process grounded in a life of prayer and worship and service and mutual understanding and respect, all finding its fulfillment in Christ himself. A former Archbishop of Canterbury and great advocate for Christian unity once said this about the church. These are the words of the late Michael Ramsay. In the midst of the world, there is the Christian church, the pledged followers of Jesus Christ, filled with Christ's own spirit, the family and the community, not of those who are perfect, not always of those who are very good specimens of holiness, but men and women and children who, by being pledged to Jesus crucified and risen, are being put into the way of being made holy, put into the discipline of that cleansing and sanctifying and perfecting, which is the restoration of the true divine life in humanity. May God strengthen us in our call to follow Jesus, to share his light, and to take our part in building his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm quite sure that everyone who came, like me, feels it was quite worthwhile. Thank you very, very much for your kind words and your important words. Let us sing together 298. Oh, that's not it. 507, sorry. 507. And we are doing all the verses.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon you this day and remain with you always.
And I invite you to go in peace and go carefully. And I even invite you to ask a little prayer as you leave the building that you be safe until you are home in your own home. And I truly believe in doing that. So I expect you all to do it and end up home safely. Amen.
Thank you all again.